Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host for today. Jane is off. She's taking the day off, but she'll be returning on Monday. Don't you worry. But I, Greg Bach, co-host of Matt and Aaron Air, am with you today for the next 2 hours. And we are very lucky and very excited to have a recombobulation area right up top, starting it big and bold with Mr. Dan Schaefer, founder of the multi-award-winning recombobulation area. Dan, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Greg. Happy to be here for some Friday recombobulation. A busy news day in the political universe in Wisconsin. My goodness, we don't get any days off here.
What happened to the Friday afternoon dump when it was just like little stories on Friday? Nothing big, nothing worrisome. Just, you know, hey, we gave someone an award. We passed a little bill. No, not today. Not in Wisconsin. Not from the Supreme Court.
Not from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Not in Madison, where the president is going to be visiting today. A very busy news day in the political news cycle in the state of Wisconsin. That's for sure. Even busier than usual, especially busy for a Friday, July 5th.
When you put it all out there, Friday, July 5th, here comes the weekend. They're like, nope, we're going to hand down two decisions from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The president's going to visit. And, you know, I mean, just all sorts of craziness. Dan, you're heading, actually, the reason why you're on so early today is because you're actually going to head up to Madison to see the president. I almost said perform. I'm so in my comedy mode in the weekend and whatnot.
It's Friday.
He's going to do his bits. He's going to do his jokes. But you're going to go see the president later on.
Type five that he's been working on.
Exactly.
I'm going to be heading over to Madison pretty soon here after we talk this morning. But busy morning. Lots going on. I was very interested in the interview that President Biden did with the Earl Ingram Show.
Absolutely,
That was broadcast yesterday too. One of the only interviews that the president has given since last week's debate here on civic media. Pretty wild.
Actually, yeah, it's I was around the area when it was happening, and no one could see me, but I was also like, just be quiet, don't say anything, don't do anything. I'm like, I should just leave the building now. You can actually check out that interview with Earl Ingram on the Civic Media website. Go to civicmedia.us, and it's right there. You can listen to that one. And the response to it was amazing. We got coverage all over the country for it. But let's talk about the news that you and I discussed before we got on the air, which is the big decision handed down by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is making Dropbox legal again.
Yeah, that's right. In a 4-3 decision announced this morning, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I'm reading directly from J.R. Ross at WisPolitics. He tweets, Wisconsin Supreme Court again allows local clerks to use unstaffed absentee ballot drop boxes, restoring the option for voters months ahead of the presidential election. This was a 4-3 decision with the four liberal justices in the majority and the three conservative justices in the minority. I think this is what many people were expecting when this case was brought to the state Supreme Court yet again. And I think, you know, it's to me, when I take a look back at this and just, you know, step back and take a look at the big picture, state Republicans never had a problem with ballot drop boxes at any point, and were encouraging voters to use them during the 2020 election. It was only after the 2020 election results, where Trump lost Wisconsin, that they changed their tune on this, as one of the many, you know, kind of election denier conspiracy theories that have been out there about Wisconsin. The drop boxes were, of course, one of the more prominent ones. It has been, you know, endlessly proven that these are safe and secure. Probably more secure than putting your absentee ballot just back in the mail than bringing it directly to a secure drop box. And I think, you know, it just seems so telling that Republicans never had a problem with this until the 2020 election, suddenly did something about it, you know, in the wake of that in 2022. And we didn't have the drop boxes then. And I think this is just, it's ultimately a good thing that people will have more options to vote in a safe and secure way, more access to the ballot. I think this is, you know, this is a big deal for people with disabilities. This is a big deal for, you know, a lot of people who might not, you know, be able to attend a polling or go to a polling place on election day. You just have to, I think it's important for our leaders to make it access to the ballot easier. And we know that these things are safe and secure. So I think this is ultimately a step in the right direction for Wisconsin's elections.
I really couldn't agree more. I think, you know, more access to voting is just a good thing. And, you know, the something that I know that the you, Jane, and myself have spoken about, Jane and I have spoken on the show, is that leader of the GOP in Wisconsin, Brian Schimming, has shifted the narrative of early voting and embracing a bank that vote, which, you know, I like that they're embracing that. It's frustrating because now they decided that the you know, early voting is thievery course was no good. It didn't help. And something that I saw in one of the articles I was written about, this is a quote from a CBS 58 interview. It said, in recent weeks, some state top Republicans have said voters should embrace drop boxes should the liberal-leaning court reinstate their use. And I think this is just like them finally just, you know, cleaning their hands off, saying, all right, you know what, this that was a night. Just let's just embrace early voting. It's not even a controversial issue. But the problem is you have a former president now, or from still out there saying constantly it's thievery, it's voter fraud, it's theft, and they have to make do with that. And it's just, I mean, I can't imagine being in the shoes of the higher ups of the GOP in Wisconsin saying things like, you know, listen to us, don't listen to him. It's fine. Just throw it in a ballot box. It's fine. Just move on.
It is one of those issues that really showcases the divide in the Republican Party right now on issues like, you know, who won the 2020 election?
Yeah.
It really gets back to that in so many ways. All these different conspiracies about, you know, when absentee ballots can get counted in Milwaukee, or when ballot drop boxes can do this, and all of these different things that have been endlessly disproven over the past 4 years. You know, I even saw some reaction immediately this morning on Twitter with some, you know, conservatives and those on the right saying, ah, this is, they have to cheat to win. And it's just it's so frustrating because it continues to kind of the poison the well of democracy in Wisconsin. And it's just, you know, it's not like they're going to, even those who are ready to embrace ballot drop boxes, you know, like you said, the executive director of the state Republican Party, you know, turning to the bank your vote thing. It's not like they're going to turn around and be like, hey, sorry about all that for the past 3.5 years that we've been trying to discredit your votes and raise conspiracy theories about the legitimacy of your votes in Milwaukee and Madison and all of these different things. It's not like they're going to, you know, turn around and say, hey, sorry about all that. We didn't really mean to we didn't really mean to cause all that conspiracy and confusion. And we're just going to move right on. So it's, you know, it's you know, ultimately it's a good thing. I think most people, I think, you know, pretty much all Democrats, people on the left, seem to have no problem with ballot drop boxes. And it seems like at least half of Republican voters seem fine with it too. So do the math and you've got the majority of the country, majority of the state aligned on this issue, it seems like too.
And that's the thing too. This isn't a decision. I mean, I'm happy that they're going to be, if you live in Milwaukee, there's a library in Bayview on KK that's had its ballot box covered for years now. And that, and then when I read that, the first thing I thought was I'm just opening that bag up and taking it off and the ballot box being accessible to the people. And that's cool and everything. But ultimately, it isn't, it's a decision too, where just like, great, cool, move on. Other things, it's not, this isn't, you know, we shouldn't have been fighting this hard over something so innocuous, in my opinion. But yeah, it's a good decision. It's a great decision. I'm hoping it sticks. I think it will, because I think the GOP, at least in Wisconsin, is just like, we don't have time to fight over this. We want to try to steal democracy. Okay, we have goals right now.
Well, and I think too, it's, you know, it's given that there's going to be another election for the Wisconsin Supreme Court that will determine the majority, now less than a year away, that election coming next spring. in Wisconsin. You know, Brad Schimmel running. And I think, you know, that he's been pretty clear about where he stands about things. I think we know where he stands on things from his 8 years as attorney general, and things like ballot drop boxes, he would certainly be siding with the minority in this opinion. So I think it's going to be, you know, I do wonder if this is a decision that would potentially get revisited if there were a different majority. But I think it's also incumbent on Wisconsin voters who wanted that change last year with Janet Protasiewicz to seek, you know, to uphold that 4-3 liberal majority next spring in the 2025 Wisconsin Supreme Court election as well.
We got Dan Schaefer here from the Recombobulation, the founder of the multi-award winning. I mean, the guy they're just throwing awards at him left and right for all the work he's doing. Dan, in the last few minutes, what do you got brewing up over at the Recombobulation area?
Yeah, you know, I'm certainly going to be writing about what's next with the with President Biden after the visit in Madison today, after the campaign stop. We'll have to see, you know, how all of that goes. Obviously, there's a lot going on within the Democratic Party right now. And also, you know, just looking ahead to the RNC, now just, you know, less than 2 weeks away in Milwaukee, the RNC will be coming to town. And before that as well, I'll plug one event that's happening in Milwaukee that we'll be hosting with the Recombobulation area and two of our award-winning contributors, Angela Lang and Phil Rocco. We're going to be hosting a live podcast event at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point in Milwaukee on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Wednesday, July 10th, 6 p.m. Free to attend. So come out and have a conversation. We'll be talking about the RNC. We'll be talking about the big issues of the day, and we will we'll recombobulate with those of you who can attend in Milwaukee on Wednesday.
Excellent. Awesome. Thank you so much. Dan Schaefer's here every Friday from the Recombobulation area. Check out the website. Check out the news. Subscribe. Support. Dan, thank you so much for being here. Travel safe to Madison, and we look forward to hearing your report next week, Friday.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. You are here with me, Greg Bach. I am the co-host of Matt and Air on Air because Jane is on vacation today. So she'll be coming back Monday. Don't you worry, but you're with me for the next little while, and we're happy to have you here. You can always call and text in very simply. Go text 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you are watching that. You can also download the Civic Media app. It's free. You can text us and call us through there. And we'd love to hear from you. Please drop us a line. Let us know how you're doing. How was your 4th? How was your 4th of July? Calvin Butenhoff, you're out there. I see you. Calvin, how was your 4th of July?
You know, I came in and produced a very special broadcast for Earl. We debuted his interview with the president. So I worked a little bit in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I just relaxed. It was nice.
What was it like? You're sitting there just turning the dials on the president. You're like, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday it was pretty much just press play, but on Wednesday I picked up the phone for the interview. I was expecting an aide, and it was President Joe Biden.
That's amazing. Did you? That's great. I assume he was nice. He seems like a nice fella.
Yes, he was nice.
So you did that on Wednesday. You worked a little bit yesterday, but after that, what did you do on the 4th of July? Did you relax? Did you cook? Did you bake? Did you go to family?
You know, I just relaxed. I stayed in and played video games.
You are the king of relaxation. And I'm saying that with all respect, because when I ask you what you're doing, you're always like, I'm playing video games. I'm like, that's right. That's what you should be doing. Did you set off fireworks? Did you attend fireworks?
I did not attend or set any off, but I certainly heard them.
Exactly. That's exactly, you know, okay. I don't want to sound not patriotic. I don't want to sound like I don't love America, but I do. Fireworks for me have just taken a nosedive in interest. And it was about when we were little, we would gather up our stuff, go to Lowell grade school or to my Aunt Kathy's house, which is right across the street where they would fire off the fireworks. It was municipal run. It was fun. There was cookout. There was family. But now you're just surrounded by what seems like a war zone. It is just going off. And how late did yours go, Calvin?
So I live out in the country, kind of, but our village police are on that type of thing. So they were over by probably 10:30.
Oh, you are a lucky, lucky man. Mine, I think, went until, I think, midnight. And we have the Ring app, and someone asked the question on Ring, like, hey, how late do these goes? And someone just snapped back, midnight until July 4th is over. I'm like, oh boy, this seems more like a mission. And this was our first year with a dog. Maybelle is, you know, she's a pup and she's not even 10 months old. And she wasn't scared, but she was definitely concerned, running all over the house the entire time, trying to figure out what was going on, because we had them on all sides of the house, all around the area. And I just do not understand the appeal of it anymore. As far as like, let's buy up $300 worth of fireworks. Let's go over to this property and let's blow them up. And I mean, might as well just burn your money, in my opinion, but I don't know. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, please give us a call. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream. Do you love fireworks? Are you enjoying fireworks? Is that something that helps you feel more patriotic? Is that something that like we have to do on the 4th? Is that like if we took away some, just a little bit? I'm not even saying like take away like your municipal fireworks, but just, it doesn't need to sound like World War III on my front step. And here was the weird thing, is that I took the dog for a walk this morning and I found some of the culprits of who was lighting off fireworks. And take a guess where they were lighting off fireworks, Calvin.
Where?
Underneath power lines.
That sounds like a really smart idea.
Yeah, I was walking there and I was just making my way, and all of a sudden I looked and I see a ton of wasted fireworks, and then I look up and I just see gigantic power lines. And how we did, I mean, I'm like, I don't know how this didn't happen, but we're lucky we didn't get our power knocked out, because apparently the people who live around me, not that smart. We got some texts coming through. John from Oshkosh says he loves them. He loves them if someone else bought them and lights them off. And that's where I'm at. Like, if we go to like the lakefront or a beach and the city is doing them, I'm cool with that, because I know it's like 15, 20 minutes and I'm going to pack up and I'm going to go home. Matt from Germantown, our good buddy Matt from Germantown. I still need to teach him how to change his oil, because I told him I would do that. But that's for another day. He said he smoked meat, grilled steaks, and had the parents over, then had to keep the dogs calm from the fire. That's the whole thing. It's about, you had a dog, right, Calvin?
Yes, I have two. My older one does not do well. He freaks out. Luckily, they don't bark at the fireworks, but he runs and hides in a corner and trembles. The younger one, she's not like scarred by it like he is, but she was definitely sitting on someone's lap at full alert.
Yeah. See, that's Maybelle was never cowering in the corner and scared per se. She was running around just like, what is happening here? There's so much noise happening. And I'm not just talking about like sparklers. I'm not talking about like, you know, I'm talking what sounded like gunshots / bombs going off. It was very, very weird. We got some comments on the live stream here. David says, same, played video games all night, and then there were definitely fireworks being set off all around downtown Waukesha. I suspect if I looked out the window, I would see people setting off fireworks in the middle of Wisconsin Avenue. Ooh, oh boy. I at least hope the cops will show up for that one. Michael says, between my dog and kids not sleeping well, I'm with you, Greg. I hope we don't hear them all weekend long. I hope so too, but I've been hearing fireworks since early May, just like here and there. But I think we're going to have to deal with that. So, I mean, Folks, I'm not telling you to get rid of fireworks. Like, I'm not saying like make fireworks illegal. Although, are they even legal? You can buy them in Wisconsin, but I feel like it's one of those things where you can buy them, but then can you set them off legally?
Yeah, that's one thing I was always confused about it, because buying them is and possessing them is perfectly legal, but you can get a ticket from your local police, at least in my town, for setting them off. So yeah, it's really odd. Most of the time they give you a warning first, but
yeah,
still weird.
And I got cops who live like next door to me, and you know, they're not working. I'm not going to expect them to strap on their badge and be like, all right, folks, stop doing this. But it just is craziness. We got one more live stream comment here. Jeff says it was insane in Racine. I've never had it this way before. That's actually how I feel, Jeff, too. He said there's so much smoke. It was worse than a wildfire smoke. I know people like to light them up, but this year it almost felt like a competition. That's where it felt like we were going to absolutely light off fireworks and we were going to make it happen. I mean, it was going from about 8:30, it was still daylight, 8:30 until midnight, just nonstop fireworks for three and a half hours. So I don't know. I don't want to be the killjoy. I like seeing kids play with sparklers. It's fun, but I think we can take it down just a little bit. After the break, we're going to be coming back talking about the red, white, and blue, but not that red, white, and blue. There have been some elections, but not those elections. We're going to talk about the UK elections. Stay tuned. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I will be your host for the next hour and a half. Jane Matt and Air is on vacation today. She will be joining us on Monday, so we welcome you. Thank you for being here on this wonderful July 5th. You can always call. You can always text us by simply going to your Civic Media app if you have it on your phone and hitting call or text. Or if you don't want to do that, if you don't have that, but please do that. It's free. Come on, do it. You can always text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream right now, which you can do on Facebook, Twitter, /X, YouTube, you can always leave a comment on the live stream. We were talking about fireworks before, and another one from Jeff. They said that they were setting them off in the middle of Washington Avenue in West Racine. That is a major thoroughfare. That's not a backcountry road, folks. That's a major thoroughfare through the city of Racine setting off fireworks. I guess I'm old, Calvin. I'm old. I'm cranky. I'm just a cranky old man. Get off my lawn. Turn down your rock and roll music. But we're going to keep it rocking and rolling here today, and we're going to be talking about elections, the red, white, and blue. Not those red, white, and blues. The red, white, and blue of the Union Jack in the UK, because the Labour Party has just overtaken the Parliament. And I think this is actually very relevant to us right now, because it was basically about, 14 years of conservative leadership under that party with the prime ministers, lots of austerity, lots of measurements to cut back services, cut back programs to create fear of immigrants that was even deeper than there already was. And of course, we cannot forget Brexit, which saw the UK leaving the European Union, which has had definite knock-on effects. The Labour Party has gotten 64% of the seats in the Parliament, with the Conservative taking 19, and that's, I would say that's a walloping. Wouldn't you say, Calvin? You're not going to see those kind of numbers, I think, in the Congress of the United States of America. I don't know if we are living in a time where we will see an election where the Congress is like, all right, the Congress is 85% one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where in reality that I don't think that would ever happen. But I think if the voters were truly represented by the Congress, we might actually see something a little closer to that.
Yeah, I mean, but also, and the thing too is that one thing you're not going to see in the United States versus the Labor Party is I'm looking at the amount. There are 9 parties represented with others as a 4% ratio, but there were 9 major: Labor, Conservative, Reform UK. Which, by the way, do not be fooled. Reform UK is not sounds. It sounds literally. It's headed up by a certain gentleman I'll be talking about in a moment, but the Reform UK, Liberal Democrat, Green Party, SNP. So there's also a lot of multi-party representation, something that this country always talks about doing, always wants to have. We're struggling to even have a third party, let alone a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth party. But one step at a time, as the UK sees a massive shift in their parliamentary representation in the Labour Party taking over with a two new prime ministers set to take power. His name is Keir Starmer. He is an MP for, I love just to say, I the only reason I'm saying that because I love the names, Holborn and St. Pancras. That's amazingly British. That's just awesomely British. Really quick here, I wanted to say something real. Tom from West Dallas says, I heard you in your last segment about events happening at the Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. Could you please text me when that is? It is next Wednesday, I believe. But if you go to Recombobulation Area's website, go to the Recombobulation Area website, or follow Dan Schaefer on Twitter /X, what do you want to call it? There'll be more details there. But we will find out the details. We can put that in the show notes and we can let you know. But it is going to be a free event. It's going to be a free podcast recording. You can listen to people talk about the stuff going on. Dan Schaefer from the website, as well as Angela Lang, who is an amazing award-winning writer and executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. She's also been on the show. Calvin, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, yeah, I was going to just make a comment more about the UK elections.
Go for it.
Really interesting to see that the UK is seeing this kind of liberal resurgence, mm-hmm. when other countries in Europe, particularly France and Germany, are seeing the rise of right-wing nationalism much in the same way we are in America.
There is a woman running for president of France who has said straight out on her first day she will make the hijab illegal in France. And the conservatives over there have been trying to do that for years. They've had this big problem with the dress of other people, Muslim people, the people that, you know, if they're wearing a turban, a hijab, whatever, a head covering, they make it seem like that's the biggest deal. And it just pushes this narrative that we see, of course, in this country of a fear of immigration, a fear of immigrants, a fear of the other, a fear of people from out of quote unquote, not American, which is absolute BS. They are just as much, if not more American than you and I sometimes. But I think I think you're absolutely correct, Calvin, that this is very interesting to see, not just liberals win 2 or 3 more seats, 5 or 6 more seats in parliament. They got 64% of the seats. That is a mandate from the people, if you ask me. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but that is a mandate from the people saying that we want something different. I'm not saying it's better. I'm saying it's just different. I think 14 years of austerity, 14 years of, you know, politics that just seek to not embrace the people, that seem to push away the services, like, you know, the attacks on the NHS, attacks on other services to the people. I think that the British people have spoken. Really quick, I want to say too that we'll be discussing, I want to talk about in a little bit about the statement from Rishi Sunak, who is now the outgoing prime minister of the parliament. But before we do that, we got Tom from LA on the phone. Tom, thank you so much for calling. What say you this morning?
Hey, Greg, first off, you do an awesome job, buddy. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, thank you very much, Tom.
No, absolutely. Second, we the people ultimately are the government, and we can never forget that. I want to just talk about the fireworks thing because, you know, ours here in my area went off till about 2 or 3 in the morning, which is really ridiculous. Yeah. And yeah. I really feel bad, not only for the animals, because my animals, of course, didn't like them either, but for people, if you don't care about animals, can you care about maybe the war veterans that come back in a PTSD, and all they hear is the shelling of you know, bombs going off, basically? It's like it puts them right back where they were in the war zone. And I think it's also a really good time to talk about, again, the difference between private and public. Private means that everybody can basically go out there and buy their fireworks. Public means that, you know, the city does it, like you were talking about, like it was when we were kids. The city would do it. People would decide that that's what they wanted to use some of their tax dollars for. And they would do it as a city, as a community, not where it's just the rich, maybe that get to load off or, you know, do the fireworks or what have you. It's just, I think that we really need to know the difference between public and private, and how private is for profit and public is for we the people.
All right. Yeah. That's something I always think about too. You know, when I always think about the animals first, and I think about, I don't think about the vets second, but like, I do think about the vets, and I never want to assume what their level may be, and to say like, I don't want to use them as my reason to say, maybe this isn't a good idea. Cause I also don't want a vet saying, don't speak for me. You know, and so I go from what I know from experience, which is, at least, you know, as Calvin was saying, as people in the live stream, as you said, Tom, yourself, you know, it has a definite effect on dogs and therefore can have definite effects on humans. And, you know, not saying get rid of them, not saying make them illegal. Let's just, I know there's something I was thinking about this morning, like going to a municipal fireworks event, everyone just looking up in the sky for 25 minutes with a sense of wonderment. And that's a really nice feeling. Whereas you're in your backyard, it's buddies, the backyard of your buddy's house, and like someone just almost got their thumb blown off. Okay. So I don't want to take someone to the hospital. I just want to have a good time and relax and enjoy. So you're right. Thank you so much for calling, Tom. We really appreciate the insight. We got another comment on the live stream from Jeff saying, he said, with regard to his comment about they were setting off fireworks in the middle of Washington Avenue in West Racine. And I said, that's a major thoroughfare in Racine. I used to work in Racine. I'm my boss who was the mayor of Racine for a while. He said, I knew you would know where that is, Greg. I'm two blocks from Wilson's, which is the unofficial city hall, which is very true. A lot of stuff happens down there. A lot of good stuff, a lot of power meetings, handshakes, a lot of democracy. And we're talking about democracy right now because the UK election happened yesterday on the 4th of July of all days. You know, Calvin, are they trying to steal our thunder? I know 4th of July is a hard time for them. They have to deal with, you know, losing America. They lost us. So they decide to hold their elections on the 4th. Do you think that you, I got friends in England. They just don't even care. They're like, yeah, we don't care about your day.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been seeing there's a budding trend on social media of Brits and Americans kind of fighting over who owns what parts of certain cultural things. And it's really interesting to like, because Brits think like their fashion and their food is better, and then Americans argue that they took it all from America and other places and that kind of thing.
I mean, are we really going to fight over our food? I mean, if you look at it, the tradition of English food is that of blandness and sauces. And I'm not trying to start static here. I'm telling you right now, it's not the greatest food in the world. But America, we can talk about, you know, 3-star Michelin restaurants. We can talk about beautiful courses served on fine linens with beautiful silverware. But when people think of American food, Calvin, they think of deep fried, they think of quantity over quality. And if we can cover it in cheese, even better. So I don't really think that America and the British have a leg to stand on when it comes to fighting over their foods.
Oh, I definitely agree. But there are, I'm seeing on TikTok, there's at least 3 or 4 channels that are like food bloggers that are Brits coming to America, and they try like brisket and macaroni and cheese and like ribs and that kind of stuff.
Well, there's also Snack Wars, which is very fun to watch. You watch a British person eat UK versus American snacks, and there's always these hard opinions. I'm like, they're both just, you're eating junk food. I don't understand why you're taking such pride in that kind of stuff. the reason why, and I don't know why Panic at the Disco showed up on that clip, but the music we were playing, it's a perfect thing you were saying there, Calvin, that people will say, oh, America Tis of Thee. That's actually the British national anthem. They're the exact same tune. I don't know how they got away with it, but I guess we were showing our love for them. But we were talking, though, about the UK elections that just took place yesterday. An overwhelming majority of Labour Party seats have been established in the parliament, with a brand new prime minister making their way in there. And we got comments coming from you on the text line saying, Andrew Main saying, are there any UK British dates that we Americans acknowledge or pretend to care about? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think the UK, I don't think the British celebrate as many days as we do. We seem to have a day or two every single month. So I don't know. They also do not fly the flag as hard as we do. So get on board. But we're going to come back talking a little bit more about the election. I want to talk about a young man who decided to try again, and a very unique sentiment coming from a political leader who is about to leave office. But if you want to text us or call, you can do that by going to your Civic Media app or to your phone. It's 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment in the live stream, as you've been doing. We're going to come back at the other side of the break. Stay with us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been muted this whole time because I'm a professional, folks. Welcome back to the show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream. This is Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. Jane is off today, but she'll be returning on Monday. You got me, Greg. You got Calvin on the boards. We're talking about the UK elections and what it means for the country as far as, I mean, that was the reason why I wanted to talk about this. This isn't just about the UK. This isn't just about their elections. This is a kind of a statement to the world as a superpower, as an ally, as a statement from the people saying, we want something new. We want something different. 14 years of the same. How many prime ministers? I think five prime ministers, four in the last 5 years. It's just not been working. So they've made a statement. And I think for me, that statement overlaps to the United States, to where we are right now. I think it's more important than ever to understand that your vote does matter. Your vote does count. You can go to myvote.wi.gov, find out your status on the voter rolls, find out what's on your ballot. We have a primary coming up in August. That is going to have two questions for the Wisconsin State Constitution that are very, very important. We've talked about that with Deb Cronmiller. And we just want you to be as informed as possible. We want you to get to the polls. We want you to utilize your vote. And that's what the people over in the UK did. And I just want to talk about an interesting man. You might not know him. He is the head of the UK Reform Party. His name is Nigel Farage. And the thing I just like about this is that the article starts with the line, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Because after eight times, he has finally been elected as a member of parliament. And he is the leader of the UK Reform Party, which sounds like, reforming laws? Are they working on environmental issues? Are they trying to create good services? No, they're about austerity. They're about kicking out immigrants. And they were the leaders behind Brexit. And I just think it's interesting that a guy can try 8 or 9 times and finally fail his way into the parliament. But what I find most interesting, though, right now is that the outgoing UK Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, who just he's been in office, I think, for 2 years, never really got a chance, never really made it with any sort of big pushes politically, any big bills to push through the parliament. He did something, Calvin, that I thought was very, very interesting. Do you know what he did?
I don't. What did he do?
He did 2 things. The first thing he did, he apologized. He said, "I am sorry. I take responsibility for this loss." He is the prime minister, outgoing prime minister of the UK. He said, "I'm sorry. I take responsibility for this loss." And the next thing he did, Calvin, he conceded the election. Now, you might say to yourself, what's the big deal? That has become a firebrand issue here in the United States of America, to the point where I feel like, and I don't know, Calvin, if you feel the same way, it almost seems like if a Republican dares say out loud, "Yes, I will accept the election results," they're going to get thrown out of their party or primaried out of their office or be called a rhino, and it's just going to be bad for them. But Rishi Sunak, all of the things aside, the fact that he apologized and took responsibility for the loss and accepted the election results is huge. And that's another, and to me, is another big statement about democracy and about the process and the fact, I'm not going to call England better than America or vice versa or anything like that, but they still seem to have a grasp on the process of democracy and what needs to happen. Peaceful transfers of power, which we did not see in 2020, which is unheard of in this country's history almost, I think from back to John Adams when he just ditched out of town. But I think that's very interesting. We were talking also about shared UK-British interests, and Tom from LA texted, we were talking about food, that, you know, one country is about, you know, lots of sauces. One country is about lots of sauces, deep fried cheese. You guess which one I'm talking about in the latter. And he said, and Tom says, America uses all the different cultures for their food. And I think that's a beautiful statement too, because it shows that, you know, we are a country of many different people. And you can go to a place where it's like, oh, my father is Indian and my mother is Asian, so I'd have an Asian Indian fusion restaurant, and it's going to be hopefully very, very good. I think that's very, very cool. We take those influences and we blend them into our food. And I just think that's very interesting. And that stuff is starting to happen over in the UK as well. That's a little bit of a tangent, Calvin. I apologize for taking you down that road. But I did want to talk about Rishi Sunak and the fact that he apologized and said, "It's over. We're done. We've lost. It's my responsibility." Do you think, Calvin, we will get to a point where it will be okay to concede elections again? Not, it won't be a mind-blowing thing. Just both sides, either side, like, yeah, we concede. We're move on. We lost. And it's going to be okay.
I hope. I mean, I was convinced that we just had to get, I don't know. I'm confident, for better or worse, that if Biden loses the election, he will concede.
I think so. I think so too. I agree with you. I agree.
But when it comes to Trump, I'm worried he's establishing a pattern for the GOP going forward. But I think it will take an election cycle without him to actually know.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think it's going to, yeah, I think that it's going to be, you know, if Biden wins in 2024, we don't see Trump in 2028. I think 2028 to 2032, I think you'll start to see Republicans come around. They'll be looking out their door going, "Is he gone? Is he gone? Can I? Yes, I lost the election. It's fine. We're fine. You're good. We're all good." So democracy is alive and well in England, in the UK, in their parliamentary elections. I just think being very interesting. And it gives me hope for what we can do here, because we have a wonderful democratic process that we must not forget. Always remember, check your voter status, register to vote, vote in August. Coming up on a break, we have news coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back soon. Luke Mathers is joining us in a little bit. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. That's Calvin Butenhoff on the boards. and you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.